is the Next Level Loan Officers podcast. To learn more about Next Level Loan Officers, go to becomenl.com.
Hey now, I'm Sean Zalmanoff. I am with the one and only Kenneth Travis, and this is your Next Level Loan Officers podcast, the number one podcast for loan officers by loan officers that exists in these great lands. And we have got an important topic for you today. It's something that people ask KT and I about often, and something that a lot of loan officers, I would say, fumble through, aren't prepared, mess up. And you kind of need a little playbook when you're going into meetings. And these meetings are your realtor meetings. Now, I mean, they're more important than ever. And the reason that I say they're more important than ever right now is because, you know, those referral relationships, they're a commodity. And KT, like, it takes more referral relationships. It takes more partners today to close the same amount of business or the amount of business that you want to than it has in years past because of the amount of volume going through the industry. So how you handle these meetings is of the utmost important to you, right, bro?
Yeah, I think that it's a very strategic thing that originators have to like embrace. They have to strategize on it. They have to figure out what it is that they're going to do, you know, and maybe we can talk about some specifics and what that really looks like. But I think you're right, man. I think it's such a conversion piece. And it's definitely, in my opinion, a way to differentiate yourself from the other originators. And I like to have these realtor conversations and lead with education. But you've got to also have like this emotional intelligence to be able to sell them on differences, benefits that you have, to be able to help them see things inside of their own business that they maybe haven't really paid attention to before and never really understood how to measure their time. And so there's just so much. It's such a big conversation that I've, you know, feel like, I have formulated a very good plan that works for me, works for my market when, you know, initiating these, realtor conversations and how to go about it. Because you got to keep in mind, Sean, would you agree that every other loan officer out there, a lot of them are groveling and begging for business and not necessarily providing value?
They're groveling, they're begging for business, and they're just throwing up information. You know, there's the adage of, you know, God gave you one mouth and two ears and you need to use them proportionately. And then you need to adjust your conversation of what you say based upon what they tell you. So you got to have a general flow. But like, you know, for instance, recently back from a little trip to Alaska, and I'm not going to spend my entire time talking about my trip to Alaska, but I'm probably going to throw it out there as something, hey, I just did this really cool thing with my family. And then all of a sudden, if they start talking to me about camping and hiking and fishing, like, you know, a lot of my conversation for the next 40 or so minutes while we're sipping on this coffee is going to be asking them about camping and fishing and hiking. And by the way, there's a really ton of cool mountain bike trails in St. Louis, because if they're into those things, there's a chance that they're into that. And man, I probably got my next date with this realtor planned, and I'm going to do something that nobody else does with them. We're going to go mountain biking. And so that's like what you have to really be listening for, because you're not getting business from this meeting. Like, write that down right now. You're not getting business from this meeting. All of the money is in the follow-up. You know, they're going to leave that meeting, be like, Kenneth was a great guy. Love that dude. And then tomorrow is going to happen and the phone's going to ring and they're going to get a buyer's lead. And, you know, they're going to call Susie Q and give it to her because that's what they've always done. And so if you don't change the habit with the follow-up, then you're missing out. But first, let's go back to running this meeting, because KT, man, you do it probably better than anybody I know.
Yeah, I always do my research before I meet with an agent. I usually call their broker and, you know.
Wait. You actually know something about them before you go yeah. into the meeting?
Yeah, I know if they have a dog, if they have kids, if what their hobbies are, what they're interested in. I just find out a little bit about them, do a little research on them, find out, you know, how their personality or they, you know.
How would you ever find out this information about them?
I called their broker, but you could go to Facebook. You could, you know, learn a lot about a person through that way. Mutual friends, you know, a lot of times you'll see mutual friends. You can message one and say, hey, what do you know about this person? And about to have coffee and just wanted to get some intel, you know, somebody just you obviously trust their judgment. But yeah, man, I like what you said. It's like, you know, I don't sit down and just vomit on them. It's really all about them, you know, and we just find out, you know, what do you do for fun? What are the, you know, how long have you been in real estate? Kind of get to know them. Sometimes you already know that person well enough where you can kind of jump into other things. But, you know, if you're really getting to know them, great. If you already know them, then it's just deepening the relationship, finding something important to talk to them about that resonates with them. But a lot of times I'm either meeting with agents that I know, but I'm not really working with so much, and I'm trying to convert them to do more business with me. And for me, you know, once we get through that initial 20 or 30 minute conversation about them entirely, I really like to go into asking them about their business, right? How's business going for you? And what I have found over the years, Sean, is realtors fall in one of two camps. They fall in the camp of traffic. I need more traffic. I don't have enough sides or closings going on and I need more business, right? And so they have a traffic problem. The other problem that I find that they have that's number one as well is their time. So often I meet with a realtor that's closing, you know, a substantial amount of sides every month or year, and their biggest issue is time. They don't have enough time in the day to get everything done. Well, it's two different conversations, and I just throw them together. The first thing I like to talk to them about is, hey, have you ever heard of Pareto's Law? And they're like, no. And you say, it's kind of like science and psychology had a baby, got together and had a baby. And there's a lot of intel around that that I think is important for realtors to understand. If you know that 20% of what you do generates 80% of your income, that's what I call actions that matter. The 20% of actions that matter, the money-making activities, but 80% of what you do generates 20% of your income. But all of that stuff is just the minutia. It's very important to get done. But I explain this to them, just like I explain this to loan officers about their business. And when I break it down for them, Sean, a lot of times they'll be like, oh, I see. So the one, like, I'll give you an example. I'll tell you a story real quick. I met with a realtor not long ago, and we sat there and that's what she told me. She was like, hey, I'm in a bind because I don't have enough time, KT. I just don't have enough time in the day to get everything done. And I said, well, how much did you make? And we did the math, and she was making, bro, I'm not embellishing this. She was making $400 an hour. And I said, wow. I said, well, name, you know, in your minutia column over here, give me five or six things you just do not like doing. And boy, she gave me 20. She hated them, Sean. She's like, I hate these things. I hate doing them. And I'm like, okay, well, let me ask you another question. I said, would you pay someone $400 to do those things for you if you didn't have to do it? And she said, heck no, I wouldn't pay someone $400. I looked her square in the eye, Sean, and said, then why are you doing it? And it was like a light bulb went off in her head. You know, and Pareto's Law now made sense to her. And she ended up hiring a transaction coordinator. The transaction coordinator is working with her now. And she called me not long ago and was like, KT, that was probably the best advice I'd ever taken. And there was more to it, but that's what we're trying to, you know, accomplish and dude, I'm in these coffee appointments anywhere from an hour to 2 hours. I'm embarrassed to say, like 2 hours sometimes. Like if so,
I'm 37 minutes to 55.
Yeah, there you right. go. And that's what you should be. So I get carried away sometimes, and it's just, it's my biggest weakness, but it's also my biggest strength. But the reason I tell you guys this is because I'm not going in there vomiting. I have great customer service. I have the best rates. I have the best loan products, blah, 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 and vomit on them. That's what I'm not doing, right? Because everything that you just said, well, you're supposed to. You're supposed to have those things. It's like friends. You've heard me say it before. I've got people come to me. I put food on the table. I put clothes on my children's back, and I provide for them. I put a roof over their head. I'm like, yeah, bro, you're supposed to. That's what dads do. You know, that's what fathers do. What are you doing as an originator to go above and beyond for your real estate agents? And it's helping them see their blind spots and, you know, and manage their time better and value their time. Because if a realtor knows they're doing, you know, they're worth $400 an hour, they're going to look at their time a little bit differently. And then, you know, it's never about me, but I always like to follow it up with a strategy session, right? Hey, you know, like I had a coffee appointment this morning, John, and the realtor had a traffic problem. And I said, and I just started talking about ATMs, actions that matter, money-making activities, you know, realtor playbook, all of these things, which we all have, by the way, inside the Next Level Pro community available, right, to be able to download recordings from the coffee appointments that I've personally had, a cheat sheet for the strategy session, like what happens in that strategy session. And all you got to do is go to becomenl.com and get signed up. That class in itself, all by itself, is well worth the investment. And it's, you know, the cost of Next Level is only, it's like half of a loan for the entire year, right? It pays for the entire year. So anyway, but just a lot of little nuggets and stuff, because this is a big conversation. There's a lot that goes into it. They're not all the same. You know, I've taken staff with me before, Sean, and they always say, people say, man, I've been on several of these. And Kenneth, the conversation, it's got the same bullet points, but it's always kind of a little bit different. And it is. And you have to be able to have influence and persuasion. You got to make sure you use the right words and anchor words, and you're really pulling back the curtain. What makes you different? You want to be a trusted advisor, right? You want them to know, you know, the thing, the benefits that they have working with you, right? But not on that initial call. You do that later. You can pull back the curtain and show them, hey, this is what we do back here, you know, during a loan process and all the things that we offer and what makes us unique. Do that later, right? Just build their trust, help them on their business, help them see the things that they can't see, because we all have blind spots to some degree, and open their eyes to a new way of thinking and help them, educate them, tell them about, you know, you can tell them about loan programs. Sometimes I go into a loan program if they give me something, you know, a scenario that they're needing help with, you know, but not really vomiting on them about how amazing I am. That's the last thing, because every other loan officer does that.
Yeah. So it's all about listening. So if they're asking about a loan program because they had this deal go bad and this loan officer strung this 1971 double wide out, and you're like, yeah, I'd have told you the second you called me to dump that listing and dump that buy. Like, they're just never, that's never going to close. Like, don't worry about that. The other thing, you know, KT, you mentioned, like, you know, this person had an issue with time. So I'm always thinking of books, of things that I can do. So if somebody did that and I'm talking about Pareto's law, man, I'm going to be like, hey, man, I'm going to send you a copy of this book called Run Like Clockwork. It's a lot to get through. Plus there's a lot of exercises inside of it. And so, like, it's work, but for somebody who's worth $400 an hour, it is well worth the work that's put in doing it. So that's listening and adjusting the conversation to what they need. They might not know anything about loans, so they might just be peppering you with loan questions. Yeah. It's okay. Then that's an okay time to talk about it. But the point of this meeting is to set up the next one. So the other thing that I know, some people, they got nervous. You said something earlier, KT. So you're looking at somebody on Facebook to find out some information about them. And hey, listen, if you all are not stalking these people to some extent, like, I mean, the second I get a contract, the second somebody tells me they're working with the buyer, I mean, I'm pulling up Facebook and I'm looking at who they are. Because if I haven't worked with them before and I'm seeing pictures of them on a mountain or pictures of them skiing, I'm letting them know the second I get on the phone that I just stalked them and that we're going to be lifelong friends because we're in the same things.
I feel like I'm cheating sometimes when I do that too, because like it's like cheating, man. Like, I'll give you an example of this. I had a realtor that had a golden doodle, right? And I knew she had a golden doodle and she didn't have kids, and that golden doodle was her kids. Well, I have a golden doodle too. So I sat down and said, oh my gosh, you won't believe what my golden doodle did today. She's like, oh my God, you have a golden doodle? And I already knew she had one. But it's such a great example of like knowing stuff about them to get them excited about the experience that they're going to have with you.
Yeah. So here's what you said that made people nervous. You said that, hey, if you looked on Facebook and you saw that they're friends with Bob, you reach out to Bob.
Yep.
And ask Bob about them.
Yep.
And so some people are like, oh my God, well, what if Bob calls them and says that I reached out? Dude, it is the best thing that could possibly happen, because they sit down in the conversation. They're like, dude, I heard you called Bob, or you messaged Bob to find out about me. And be like, yeah, well, first of all, I value the time that we've set together. I don't ever want to walk into a conversation blind. And dude, Bob's a really trusted friend of mine. And, you know, if they hold a good opinion about you, that instantly elevates you for me. And frankly, I just want to work with cool people. So if he said that you were cool, I knew this would be a good use of my time. And instead of being like, whatever the heck you would say, or just trying to fumble over yourself, or just being so desperate to get their business, like, you know, they're smelling that prey in the water at that point. You don't want that. You want to have that relationship formed. And that's what it says when you do homework. That's what it says when you stalk somebody on Facebook, or when you reach out to a friend and you know these things about them. Or it just gives you the perfect opportunity to drop in the, you know, the hiking comment, because you saw him hiking in the woods. It gives you the perfect opportunity to drop in the golden doodle comment. You know, and one thing that I've told you all about before too, like, I make my coffee experiences a little bit unique. So like, I almost will always do a walk and talk of my coffee experience, or my coffee meetings. And I stop by my truck and I throw on my rucksack. So like, wear my nice little collared shirt here, put on that rucksack, and we go for a walk, because I'm doing something to make that experience with me memorable, instead of just sitting in that coffee shop, or, you know, going and, you know, walking down the street to a park bench. Like, I want them to remember me so that they're pick up the phone the next time. It's like, oh yeah. Or they're sending me to voicemail. And after that, a couple of times, I'm like, oh, whatever. They thought I was a weirdo. So join the club. Somebody else doesn't. And that's who I'm going after.
You know, you got to be likable, Sean. Like, you've got to be likable. If you're not likable, right, and you're not like, I feel like that a lot of loan officers out there get too stuffy or take themselves too seriously. And they feel like that they've got to be this, you know, superb, high level professional. And dude, people don't want that. They don't want that in my market. If I was that way whenever I was meeting with agents, and it's not the culture of my community, it's probably not going to work well for me. And that's not the image that I want. So really think about the image that you want to portray. I don't want to be unapproachable. I don't want to be a salesy by any mean. I want to be a community leader. I want to help people in the community. I believe the homeownership is still a big thing, and still part of the American dream. And I want them to know that. And so I want to be a resource for them. I want to be information for them. I want them to feel like they can come and talk to me. And, you know, I've had these coffee appointments with people, Sean, over the years. I meet with more people that don't work with me than probably end up working with me. But guess what? These people get time to spend with me. And a lot of times they already have a relationship that they've had for a long time. And that's okay. I get that and understand that. Or they have multiple lenders that they work with. But you know what I noticed that they don't do is they don't, if they know that I've got a client and I've pre-approved them already, they're not going to steer them anywhere else, because they say, you know what? I like KT. I'm not going to take it for, like, I'm good working with him. You know what I mean? Even though they may not, and that's the value in that, right? Like, when you really think about it. So be likable, be cool, and always, like, just don't pretend to be somebody that you're not. People will, you know, they will like you more for just being you than trying to be somebody that you're not. I see that a lot, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, if 3 out of 10 realtors that you meet with end up sending you business and become a good referral partner, like, you're going to the Hall of Fame. You bat 300 for 10 years in baseball, you go to the Hall of Fame. So you guys, you got to break down the numbers and the stats when you're really looking at how those things break down. I mean, some of them just aren't going to be a fit for you. Some of them, like, you pulled their numbers and you're meeting with them because they did 15 buyer sides last year, well, in the last 12 months. And then you meet with them and it's like, well, they did 14 of those 15 in the first 6 months. Like, you know, they've only done one in the last 6 months, and they're like on their way out, or they're just not doing enough. They're doing you know, that was just a fluke. And so, like, they just don't do enough business that's worth your time to follow up. And so, you know, that some of them just probably half are off the table for one reason or another right off the bat. And then, you know, it's the other ones that you're cleaning up with and closing loans with.
There are that's a class in itself, guys. I'm just telling you, like, that's a class in itself. There's so many classes and so many tools so many things that are done for you inside of our Next Level Pro community. If you're not a part of it, you should be. You really should. And listen, we don't want your money. We just are trying to move the needle. If you genuinely want to grow your business and have more loans in your pipeline and get there a little bit faster, plug in to a community of loan originators that are just like you, in the trenches every single day, just like us, really getting the information that you need, tweaking it to work for you, and just getting there substantially faster, right? Because we're all going down this loan officer river together. Some of us are further ahead, some of us are further back. But at the end of the day, we're a community of people. And I feel like when you surround yourself with like-minded people, it's going to force you to level up and force you to get to work. And that's what we're here for. So we want to be a value to the mortgage industry. We've done that. We've got one of the, if not the best, number one podcast that's out there. And we appreciate you guys listening and being a part of the Next Level community.
Thank you all for tuning in. Again, the number one podcast for loan officers by loan officers. KT, I'm glad you got to see me today. Friends.
Always a pleasure, bro.
Peace out.
We'll see you guys.